to all the disciples. Sometimes we're going to group the two disciples together. We haven't done that yet, but we're getting closer and closer to those that we do not have hardly any knowledge about. So we're going to get there. But this week we're going to look at Matthew, but we're going to consider Matthew's past and consider why he was that way and help us to teach us the importance of making sure that we have the right view of money and finances. Matthew chapter 9, let's pick up in verse number 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. So Jesus comes up to Matthew. He looks at Matthew and he tells Matthew, follow me. And says, and he arose and followed him. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. If you go to another sister passage in the scriptures, you'll understand that Matthew kind of throws a feast. He was a wealthy individual. He throws a feast and invites all his friends, the publicans, to come eat with him. Verse number 11, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? He says, why in the world are you hanging out with them? We would never do something like that. And he says in verse number 12, Jesus responds, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's one of my favorite little phrases in there, verse number 13, when he says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I mean, Jesus looks at him and says, you don't understand that, but you need to go learn what that means. There's something there you need to learn, something there you need to understand. And sometimes I think when I read the Bible, I look at certain things as something I need to learn. And he was telling them, hey, look, only way a person can be right with God, the only way a person can get the help they need is when they recognize they are a sinner and in need of repentance. The Pharisees and religious leaders today, they didn't feel that way. They thought they had it all figured out. But because of that, they didn't need Jesus. They needed Jesus more than anyone else. But until someone realizes that they're a sinner and in need of Jesus, in need of God, it's not going to make a difference in their lives. So that's what he says. Look, go and figure out what that means. He says, I will have mercy. And he was willing to have mercy on them. But he says, your sacrifice is not going to fix it for you, for I am not come to call the righteous. He says, I'm not looking for the righteous people to hang out with them and have a party. He says, I've come to call sinners to repentance, and which is the whole world, because he says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost, but for God so loved the world, it was all the world. So in the story, it's a wonderful thought and parallel there that Jesus is telling the Pharisees that they have a need there. So how do we work that in our lesson for today? Well, why did Jesus choose Matthew? Matthew was a publican, and we're going to learn a little bit about what a publican is. And he was probably the outcast of society. Now, he wouldn't have been poor at that point in time because of his job, but he was someone that the Jewish people wouldn't have nothing to do with. They wouldn't have been allowed to worship in the temple, wouldn't have been allowed to probably even cast out of his family many times. And so in this story, what we began this series helping us understand is that Jesus is calling ordinary people with ordinary problems. He didn't always look for the biggest and the brightest. He didn't look for the smartest and the most well-adept and the well-trained. He was looking for people who were going to follow him and believe in him and trust in him. And the great thing is we can all be that. We can all be someone like that. We don't have to be the biggest. We don't have to be the brightest. We don't have to be the sharpest. We don't have to have the most gifts, the most tools. We can even be someone who has a past. And that's what Matthew had. He had a past. A past that probably his family probably disowned him. Many times that happened when they turned over to be a publican. It definitely was not a fellowshipping there with other like-minded believers. You see, when he throws a party, who comes to the party? The sinners and the publicans. Why is that? Because nobody else probably wanted to spend time with him. And I want you to get this and understand this, that Jesus was looking for people who will follow him. And that's something Matthew did. You go back to verse number 9. It says, and Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of the custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now, here's a couple things I want you to think about that. Why in the world would Matthew get up and follow a guy he never met before? Now, maybe he had seen Jesus. Nowhere in the scriptures do we see that. Other times we see that Jesus talked to Andrew, and Andrew went and got Peter, and Philip went and got Nathaniel. There was things that caused them to believe. The multitudes follow after him. They after saw all the miracles and heard all the miracles. If you go to Matthew chapter number 10, it's a little bit, not, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter number 9, it's a little bit farther into the story where we're at. So maybe Matthew, and many preachers think that as Matthew is sitting there with the, receiving the taxes, taking the customs in and taxing that, he had heard stories about Jesus. Maybe he knew a blind man, and he used to make the blind man tax on his earnings. And he said, blind men, yeah, they would probably tax anybody they could to get their money. They would tax everybody, and they probably heard the stories about how Jesus healed blind men, and Jesus healed lame men, and Jesus healed and even raised the dead, how Jesus did all those things. Because of the stories they heard, it caused them to say, when Jesus came by and said, follow me, he got up and he followed after Jesus. He left a very lucrative career and he followed after Jesus. So don't really know about his calling. We're going to talk about that in a little while, about how it was important and how it was merciful. But at the same time, why did he get up? I think it's because he probably heard someone talk about Jesus in his normal day-to-day work and routine. So Matthew the publican, it says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. We already looked at that verse a little bit. I will have mercy. He's willing to have mercy, but we got to figure out what it means. And not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous. He says, those that think they're good enough already, they have their own reward. But sinners to repentance. People need to realize they're a sinner before they can ever become someone who's going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So let's look at a couple things. The publicans. Now, Matthew chapter 9:11 shows that the Pharisees are saying, what are you eating with the publicans and sinners? And I know that I know some people who have worked in the tax office before. And I know some people who actually have done things. And so back then, the tax people today probably isn't the biggest and brightest job. Everybody looks forward to doing it, but they're not condemned like the tax people back then. Back in Bible times, the Jewish people were under Roman oppression. They were no match for the Roman soldiers. Sometimes there were Jewish insurrections, but they would quickly be put down by the Roman soldiers because they had no way of defeating the Romans. And the Romans would cause them to be taxed and taxed very heavily. And what they would do is they would hire people inside the Jewish nation that would collect the taxes for them. So these publicans had a reputation of going and collecting the taxes for the government that was oppressing them. So they were disliked for that. Also, they had if you look in history and you read in traditions and even in the Bible, that it talks about how they were thieves. Not only would they tax somebody for what the Romans would want, they would add something extra to that, and they would put that in their own pockets. So they would take advantage of the other people because they've sold out. They viewed them as someone who had sold out their nation, went over to the enemy, the Roman government, and not only was they being a traitor to their nation, they were also being a thief because they would collect taxes from people who did not even have that much, which many of the Jewish people that day did not have that much, and they would collect extra taxes to make themselves rich. Now, does that sound like somebody you want to hang out with? Probably not. I mean, in all reality, that's probably someone who's a thief and someone who has gone over to be with the Roman government and someone who's going to take money from me, and even though they know I have a bad situation, they're going to take extra money from me. That was what it's talking about. This is why they despise, the Pharisees despise the publicans so much. They were known as sinners in verse number 11. They were social outcasts, they were national traitors, and they were in a sense leeches in the fact that they lived off of other people's resources. Next thing, Matthew's background. We always look at this a little bit. We don't know much about him. He was the son of Alphaeus, and he passed by and he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus. Now, I can sit up here and try to paint a bad picture of the publicans. They were, in that day and time, it was not very acceptable to be one. They could not worship. They got kicked out of the temple. They were social outcasts. And say, well, why did you put that dad up here? Well, he has a father. You imagine what it would have been like if your kid decided to be a publican? Hey, dad, I'm going to be a publican. And then he charges him some tax too. And so it's the thought there that he, even inside many families, they were rejected. They were outcasts from there. But he did have a family. And all these different stories are all ordinary people. It takes a mom and a dad to make them. They have brothers and sisters many times. They have wives some of the times that we know about. And they were ordinary people. And he had a background. His Jewish name is Levi. And in that, it shows us that he was a part of the Levite tribe. And the Levite tribe were known for being the priests. Maybe his parents had aspirations that someday he was going to grow up and follow in that long line and that long lineage and long tradition of being a priest and serve God. And that Levite tribe was set aside to serve the Lord and set aside to bring forth God's glory and honor through the different practices and rituals of the temple. And instead, guess what he became? He became a publican. So that's the background there. You know, sometimes some parents probably wouldn't have been the most excited about it. Next thing is Matthew's character. You say, well, you don't know anything about Matthew's character. Well, we know he was a publican, and the reason why people became a publican is because they put an extra value on money. He loved money. He loved money. And there's nothing wrong with having money, but the Bible does teach us for the love of money. And it says here, some people say money is the root of all evil, and they don't want to have any money. And that, you can have that attitude, but that's not scriptural. That's not biblical. It's when you have an unhealthy affection towards it. He loved money. He loved it so much that he determined that he was going to make himself rich. He was going to be rejected by his family and his society. He was going to steal from others, and he decided to apply to that authority of a publican, which means I don't care about my family. I don't care about my religion anymore. I care more about money. And what that does, it makes him into an individual that can forget so much and lay so much aside and be willing to take advantage of so many other things in order to just become rich. And there are people out there today that do that. That's their goal, is to become wealthy or to have resources, and that's their focus. Paul, in his writing to Timothy, he warns about the love of money. He gives it the idea that it is the reason for much evil. It's the root of all evil, what causes us to love other things besides God. The love of money, that lusting, is the root of all evil. While which some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And we're not going to spend a lot of time from discussing that verse because it's a wonderful verse, but they're erring. They've made a mistake here. And when we go to get money and put our treasures up here in this world instead of up in heaven, we're erring. And what we do is we hurt our own selves. We hurt our own families, but we hurt our own selves more than anything because we pierce ourselves through with many sorrows. Some of the richest people in the world are some of the saddest people in the world. You think about all the different suicides from all those people that have so much potential and have so much money and things like that. This past week, I guess everybody was talking about that lotto. I guess there was a $1.6 billion out there someone could have won. People asked me, hey, did you buy a ticket? I said, no, I didn't buy a ticket. And so I'm not going to buy tickets for it. And it's, to me, it's not a very wise way to use your money. But they said, well, what would you do with it? And I said, I'm not going to win it, so I'm not going to worry about it. And they started talking about, we're going to give this much to church, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And the love of money is something that can occupy your mind and can cause you to be thinking, and sometimes just vain thoughts, things that are not needing to be said. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with speculating or daydreaming a little bit, but in all reality, the Bible tells us to gird up our thoughts. The Bible tells us to capture every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. And our thought lives are something that we struggle with, and some things that the devil is so good at taking and getting you to think about other things, and sometimes just worthless things that causes you to get your focus off of God and the things for God. God wants us to have those things. God can provide those things. And so I want to encourage you today. The love of money is something that has caused so many people to go the wrong way. So Matthew's character, before he became a follower, it was something that he was a love of money. And why is this dangerous? It's because greedy people do many, many things to become more wealthy. And instead of depending on God for your needs, guess what happens? We begin to depend on ourselves. And that's a dangerous thing to be at. Next thing, let's think about Matthew's call for a minute. And I want you to consider this. And Jesus passed forth from thence, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. Consider the seriousness of it. We already mentioned that if he became a publican, he no longer could be a part of the temple worship, and probably his family would have kicked him out. But also, with Jesus' call, if he would have got up and left that receipt of custom, if he got up and left his job, as the verse is giving us and telling us, the Roman government's not taking him back. there are going to be plenty of people that are going to be willing to take that job because it's a wealthy job, and it's something they actually purchased the right to tax other people. It became their job. They're willing to apply to it, and it costs something, so that way they could go and they could charge the taxes and even charge extra. This is a serious thing. When Jesus comes to him and says, look, follow me, he rises and follows him. This is serious because he's leaving behind a very cushy job and a very lavish lifestyle that he had. And so the important thing to remember here, when we follow Christ, there are going to be some things that we have to leave behind. And he gets up, and I can imagine if you were Matthew's Roman guard that was there, or the person that was over Matthew, and because there were publicans, there's different levels, there's even different names, there are different levels of publicans. Remember Zacchaeus, he was the ruler of the publicans. So if you were the ruler of a publican, and Matthew gets up, he's there, he's collecting his money, and from what the story sounds like, he gets up and he just walks after Jesus, he leaves the money sitting there. I mean, you wouldn't be very happy. You're not going to give him his job back. So he's leaving his job. Think about the mercy that's involved with the call of Jesus. It's a serious thing. When we go and say, I'm going to follow Jesus, there are some things we're going to be left behind. Nothing that we need, but things in this world that we're going to have to say no to, or even relationships sometimes that will sever the relationship because of our calling. But it was a merciful call. He said, well, how can you say it's merciful? He's a publican. Most people wouldn't even talk to him. But Jesus is coming up to him, and Jesus is a beautiful picture of how he is a friend of sinners, and he's reaching out to the world, and he's seeking to save those that are lost, and he's saying to him, he says, look, come and follow me. Nobody else in the world would consider him a spiritual man. Nobody else in the world would consider him someone who knows God or loves God. But Jesus says, I see something in you. And the same thing, he has a call for all our lives. You might say, I was back here talking to the widow ladies for a few minutes. You never know what's going to come out of their mouth sometimes. And sometimes they like to say it all at the same time. And it's interesting. I was back there, and that's what I usually do during that first, while the prayer request, I go back and say hello to the classes. And we're talking about different gifts and different talents because they were talking about the teen service. They were like, I can't get up front and talk in front of people and this and that. And I says, it's nice. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. And some's like, I feel like I can't do anything. That's just not the case. You know, God has a call for all of us. He sees something in us that he can make us and that he can cause us and help us to become. And he's looking, you see this publican, and most of us, instead of looking at the publican as a person that is a soul that God loves and a person that God can use and a person that God wants to make a difference in their life, we'd probably be looking at him, here's my taxes. He says, you sure I owe that much? Yeah, you owe that much. We wouldn't care anything about him, but Jesus stops by and he sees him. He says, not only do I care about you, not only do I love you, I want you to follow me. I want to make you one of my 12 disciples. And so that should be encouraging to us. There's a merciful call in our lives. Sometimes people think, man, when God got me, he got something special. That's what the Pharisees had the problem with. They were thinking, hey, if God would join up, if Jesus would join up with us, like Nicodemus was trying to get him to attach with their bandwagon, man, we could rule the world together. He's interested in people that's going to follow the call. So it's merciful. There's a promise in this calling. Whenever Jesus calls you to do something, he's always going to provide for you. He's always going to be able to give you that provision. Yes, Matthew was leaving a life that was probably a luxurious life. You say, well, how do you know that? He throws a big party, invites people. He's at his house in another scriptures you'll see. He's somebody that had affluence. He's someone who had things to be able to throw a party with. And so he probably, as a publican, you didn't do a publican job without becoming wealthy. And there was a purpose. But when we follow Jesus, you know what's going to happen? He's going to provide for our needs. Doesn't mean he's always going to give us everything we want. Doesn't mean he's going to always give us the money to provide us to be able to throw a big party with when we want to. But he will provide for our needs. And next thing you think about it is the transforming power in the call. If you read the book of Matthew, there's some interesting and different things. It's written to the Jewish people, and it demonstrates Jesus as king. They show him as king. And the book of Matthew is the only recording of the wise men coming. It's the recording of Joseph's lineage. It's giving an argument to the nation of Israel, saying he is king, he has a rightful heir to the throne as king, as being a lineage to David, but he is also God. And he, the whole book, some of the times we look at him as a servant, some of the times we've looked at him as just a man, but here in Matthew he is presented as king to the nation of Israel, and he transforms Matthew's life. If you read through the book of Matthew, there's some faith that you see in Matthew. You think about it, Matthew chapter 6. Why don't you take your Bible back a couple pages? In Matthew chapter 6, we have the Sermon on the Mount. But a guy who used to be in love with money to where he was willing to turn his back on his family, turn his back on his religion, he was someone who was willing to listen to the teachings of Christ and even record some things in the Bible that's not found anywhere else. Listen to this guy in Matthew chapter 6. Look what it says in verse 33. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." There is a faith that's involved. There's a transforming power that Jesus has in Matthew's life. As Matthew follows after Jesus, he becomes a man, instead of loving money, becomes a man who wants to serve the Lord. To me, I think that's cool. I love it when, you know, when God takes one of those things that used to be our greatest weakness, and then we become an advocate for it being one of our strengths, that we realize and understand this. It says, verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself, for the things of itself sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So we see here that there is a faith that is involved here with Matthew's life. Christ teaches, instead of collecting material wealth, instead of storing up treasures in heaven. And you see this all throughout the all throughout the chapter. Verse number 19, "Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where your thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So there are some things here in your life I want you to get, and I want you to understand, is that this is what Matthew learned. He understood this. He became faithful from a person that used to love the money, was willing to do all those things. And this is the change God can make in your life. It's an example of how this is what you used to be, and this is what God can make of you if you are a follower of his. He is calling all of us to follow after him. He is calling all of us to pick up our cross and be a disciple of his. Also, another passage of scripture, there's the parables of the hidden treasure. If you want to take your Bible in Matthew 13, and it's a great story about Jesus gives this parable about a person who sells all to get one thing. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." It's the idea of having find the one thing and be willing to give all of it towards it. And it's finding what Jesus Christ and finding the life in Jesus Christ. And as he's writing these parables and as he's writing these stories, and I know it's under the inspiration of the gospel, but neither one of those are found in the book of Matthew anywhere else. Neither one of those, the Sermon on the Mount or the parable of the hidden treasure, to my knowledge, is not found anywhere else in the Gospels. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit used a man who used to love money and was willing to give up all that love in order to be able to teach others about the dangers of money, and that there is really something worth selling your life out for. There is really something worth giving up your life for. So I thought that was kind of interesting in the story of Matthew. Let's think about Matthew's ministry for a minute. Matthew's ministry, he wrote the Gospel of Matthew, obviously under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we mentioned a couple of these already, the visit of the wise men, Jesus' royal genealogy through Joseph, and several of the parables that are not found in other books of the New Testament. Also, details of the Sermon on the Mount, too. Of all those different things, these are different ministries that Matthew had the opportunity to be a part of. So Matthew's humble willingness, he got up, it says, and followed Jesus from that day forth. His humble willingness to follow after Jesus changes him to be a man that God uses from being a publican, a public outcast, to becoming a person, an individual that serves the Lord. Now, what do we know about Matthew's later service? He says he labored in Parthia. He also labored in Ethiopia, in which was the country that he was suffered martyrdom. He was slain with a halberd H-A-L-B-E-R-D. I do not really know how to say that word, but I looked it up. It's one of those things that have an axe and a spear together on it. It's something you would see in medieval times. He was, according to Fox's Book of Martyr, that's how he was martyred in the city of Napa in AD 60 with a halberd or halberd, H-A-L-B-R-D. So you got your next disciple. What do we learn? Man, Jesus wants to use all of us. He was a publican. He was someone that nobody wanted to spend time with. His family probably was disgraced by him. His priest didn't even want to have any deal with him. But Jesus saw him and loved him and said, follow me. How about it for our lives? There's so many things in our lives, and we think about our past, and you think, well, I can never serve God because I have this past, or because I did this, or because I did that. And sometimes some of the things we did might make us disqualified to do other service. There might be certain things that we've done in the past that causes us not to be able to be a part of something or this or that, because there are some qualifications in the Bible. I understand that, and I know that. But at the same time, despite your past, God still wants to use you. God still loves you. And the story of Matthew is a wonderful story to see that he got up, he followed Christ, the Lord changed him and transformed him into a guy who wrote a book of the Bible. He went from being a publican that loved money and got himself in trouble for loving money to throwing a party for his sinners because he wanted to bring more people to Christ, and to a spot where he is no longer a prideful person. He's humble. In all reality, in the story, he doesn't mention, he's only mentioned in the whole book of Matthew as a servant. That's what he was. After he became and followed after Christ, that's all he's known for being, as a servant of Christ. In our lives, doesn't matter what our past is, God can still use us. Doesn't matter. It's not based off what we can do, it's based off what he can do. And he can even take that weakness in your life and make a transforming power to make it a strength in your life so you can help others. And that's when I read the book of Matthew, and I read Matthew chapter 6, and I read the parable about that hidden treasure or that great, great pearl. It's, man, Matthew used to be someone who struggled with this. Now he is teaching us the truths of not letting money destroy our lives. I encourage you not to be a greedy person. God's got everything you need. And is it nice to have nice things? It is. But it's better to have the power of God on your life. Is there anything wrong with having nice things? No. But it's still better to have the power of God on your life. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. I appreciate, Lord, you and all the things you do for us. Lord, I think about the story of Matthew, and this encourages me. A guy who struggled with the love of money and struggled with being greedy to the point where he would cause that turn his back on his family, cause him to be an outcast in society amongst his own people. Even some people would consider him a traitor. God, you still called him, and you're still able to use him. And Lord, the transformed life you can make in our lives. Lord, help us not let some type of sin stop us from serving you. Help us to get that right and trust in you to transform us. Help us see how that may be a weakness now, but you can help take us from that so we can someday be an encouragement to someone else for that. Lord, what a wonderful blessing it can be to testify how God helped us through something and how God's made a difference in our life and how we can be a blessing to maybe a weaker brother or sister. But Lord, it still encourages me that you're calling sinners to you do for your service. Lord, help us in the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.